Good morning and welcome to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman. It's been a while since we checked in with the Tillamook County Library Director, Sarah Charlton. And yes, there is a levy coming up in a few weeks' time, and seems like a good idea to talk to Sarah about what's happening at the library and all the things that we all might do during the spring and summer. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you for coming.
Well, every time we talk to you, you've got some kind of activity going. We'll set the levy aside for the moment and just talk about what the calendar looks like. As we head into spring, you know, school year is winding up, but that must mean that you're getting ready for summer.
We have all kinds of programs. When we did our strategic plan a couple years ago, people said they would like to have more programs of all kinds of nature. So we changed some of the things we've been doing, and we have many more programs. I'm hoping everyone's had a chance to look at our newsletter that came out about a week ago. We're listing all of our programs now in our newsletter.
I was going to ask you before, forget what I just said about coming in the center. Talk about the newsletter, because this is fairly new, isn't it?
It started a year ago.
Okay.
It's kind of on my bucket list. I've been wanting to do one for years. But when we asked people how did they hear about our programs and various services, we heard all kinds of things, but it came down to people still want to see something in print. So we decided to do a newsletter, and it's kind of fun because we're hearing younger people put the newsletter on their refrigerator, the over 50 crowd put a newsletter on the coffee table. So it's been interesting to see, but it will list all kinds of programs, news about the library, things going on, and the feedback has been very positive because we have it bright. It sticks out. It comes to the shopper. So about every 3 months, a newsletter will come out. This one just came out, and we'll have the summer one coming out in June for the summer reading programs. But we have so much going on right now. Right now, we started up the Saturday movies at 12:30, and they're classic movies. But people had asked for us to have movies again. We have a movie license, so we can do the movies and
I was
going to
ask you how that works because
yeah, we get a good deal for
theater.
A library.
Okay,
it's really fun. And we have the old movies. We don't do any of the new stuff because we're not in competition with theater. We still have our seed program, and you come in and get packets of seeds from any of the branches, and these are seeds that companies have left over from last year. They send them to us, and there's about probably 50 libraries in the country that do this. We're one of the few, and we give out about 4,000 or 5,000 seed packets a year. It's huge.
Explain to me then, libraries and seeds are not two words I would see necessarily in the same sentence.
It started about 5-6 years ago. A library just started handing out seeds. So we started this about 4 years ago, and we did little packets. And then Sarah Beeler, who's one of the managers here, she started writing to the seed companies and said, you know, if you get rid of your leftover seeds, may we have them? Well, now we get about 20 boxes of seeds from all these seed companies. Some are Burpee, some are the Ferry Morris. They send them to us and probably about 50 other libraries in the country, and they just say, give them away. So we give them away, and people, all kinds of vegetable, flowers, anything you want, we probably have. And people who cannot afford to go buy seeds, and really everyone comes in and gets a couple of packets of seeds. I get mainly flowers, and sometimes I have luck with peppers, sometimes I don't. And then we even have programs on how to plant your seeds, how to get started.
I was going to ask if there would be a horticultural section in the library that's now set up for something.
All the seed books come out.
Yeah, coming up in Manzanita's got something in a couple of weeks' time.
Right, right. And this may be right after this airs, but Ricardo Cadenas, Latin American music on classical guitar, he'll be at Manzanita May 17th at 3 p.m. And in Pacific City on May 19th at 12 p.m., and he's amazing. And all of these are free concerts. So if you like a little Spanish music, come to that one. May 3rd in Garibaldi, we're doing a journey to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. We have someone that's been down about 40 times. Going to talk about the trip down, because I thought you just walked a few hours and that's it. Apparently you go down, spend the night. It's a huge commitment. And they only let so many people go now. So you have to kind of draw your lottery on that one. On May 6th, we're having a big thing in Manzanita. It's Writing the Personal Envoy, a Generational Writing Workshop. That's at 10 to 12 at the library. And then later on that day at 1 o'clock, we have a program on how to become an entertaining storyteller. And all these things are happening. And plus, we're having adult coloring all over at every branch at different times. And, of course, with the kids, we're still having story times at all the libraries. That's still going on. But people told us when we got feedback a couple years ago, we want more programs for the adults. They like where we come. Some people can't get to Portland. Some people can't afford to go to Portland. And we're filling that need. And we're seeing, last year we had 968 programs, and we had over 13,000 people come. It's working great.
Yeah, you know, I see sort of theme there. Obviously, something like a writing workshop or that sort of thing. That makes sense mm-hmm. in the context of what we historically think of as a library. But you're doing, you mentioned the Latin American music,
yeah.
the journey to the Grand Canyon. It seems like over the years, the definition of what a library is.
Totally
it's
changed.
Not just a collection of books, not just a collection mm-hmm. of books. It's a lot more.
It's a lot more engaging, yeah.
Is that that's getting to be the norm around the country?
That is the norm. We had a scientist who did a program on Tesla, and we all know there's a Tesla car. I did not know he was a scientist about the same time as Edison.
One of the weirdest guys.
He was nuts. If he had been normal, he would have been more famous than Edison, but he was totally nuts. But he did the most amazing thing, and the scientists bought the Tesla core, fried bananas to show people. And we had 76 people at that program. A lot of people came, brought their grandkids, and we thought, oh, people like science. So we've had a NASA ambassador. He's a gentleman he's a scientist. He's out of Seattle, has a house down here. He'll come and give talks on NASA. So that's been going really well. But we're seeing music's a big draw. Science is a big draw. We realize authors were not drawing a lot of people for whatever reason. But libraries now are leaning into what's drawing. What do people want to see? I mean, let's engage. And people are enjoying it. We used to have 10 people at our program. Now we have 50 to 100 people at our program. So it's really changed in library land the past 10 years.
Well, is the internet the big elephant in the room that's driving the change?
Yes and no. We've had computers now for 20 years. Wireless went in about probably 8 years ago. We're putting in wireless printing in the next couple of months because people come in and want to print their resume. It's on their iPad. We'll be able to do it for them. And wireless is part of what we do now. It's been here for 20 years, and it's just like some people may remember when videos came into libraries. Well, that was a sin. But we got used to it. And I now, internet, that's part of the service that's expected now. A lot of tourists come through and they stop and check their email, check the wireless, have lunch, and move on. So now we've kind of become an economic driver because it makes people stop for a while. Last month in Pacific City, we had over 500 people stop and use the wireless there. Manzanita was 400, and here was about 3,000. That's a lot of people.
Well, let's explore. You mentioned the videos in libraries, which is an old story now. So maybe mm-hmm. it's easier to go back and talk about an old story than trying to speculate what the internet's going to do or not do. But okay, let's say it's, I don't know what, however many years ago that was. Let's say 10, 20 years mm-hmm. ago. You start putting videos in the library and mm-hmm. people are saying, wait a second, I've got a television. I've got maybe cable or there's the video store mm-hmm. I can go to. Why is the library doing this? What was your answer then, and what's the answer now?
The public wanted that service. And I started in my previous library back in 1986. We started having videos. It's grown, and then, of course, we moved to DVDs. We no longer have videos because that media is gone. And we finally got rid of ours last year. We gave them to the bookstore to sell. We also have large print books, and that was a big thing, too, many years ago. Oh, large print books, scary.
I don't understand that at all. That seems to be a perfect fit.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. And now we have books on CD. That's a huge draw. We have downloadable books now. We have e-books. We have audio books that you download. We joined Hoopla last October. That has the e-books, the audio books, the digital comic books that the teens love, plus movies and TVs. So if you want to download, you can download. A lot of people this day and age cannot afford cable, so they come in and get their DVDs, or they download a movie or TV. So it's growing. Now, it would never take over books. Books are probably 50% of what we do. DVDs are probably 30% of what we do. And then everything else, e-books, is still running about 4 to 5%. So books will always be the staple of a library.
Our guest this morning on Neocony View is the director of the Tillamook County Library, Sarah Charlton. Sarah, you're talking about all these other these media that you are getting involved with, and you just finished making the case for the book. Mm-hmm. So books are going to be around, right?
They are. What we're seeing, and the Pew Institute does a study every couple of years on libraries. what they're seeing is the over 50 crowd will use an iPad, phone, or something to read, but the millennials want to have that book in hand. So things are kind of switching back now. It's just fascinating to see what's happening. But on the other hand, the millennials, they do everything with their phone, but still there's one in four people that do not have access to a computer, and that's where a library comes in, fills that gap. So we are there filling in the gap, offering, we're not on the bleeding edge here or cutting edge, but we see what people want, and we see how other libraries are doing it, and then we bring it in to see if it works here.
In your professional opinion, do we absorb, whether it be prose, or poetry, or nonfiction, fiction, do we absorb things differently? We read them on a page versus on a screen, in your opinion?
I think so. There's studies out there saying that, and they're saying that people learn differently now thanks to computers and iPhones and things like that. It has to be faster. People may not look over a page and a half unless they're reading a book. So you have to have it faster. And the one struggle we have here in Tillamook is how to get the word out. We have the newspaper, we have the radio, and various things. But still, we did a data segmentation study to see the breakdown of who lives in this county. And we found out that people still prefer print in this county, which is kind of interesting, very different from Washington County next door. But people that move here, and we're seeing a lot of people move here retiring, and they tell us they look for the library, the Y, the hospital, and well, one of the reasons they move here because it's a good library, which makes me feel really good. We're very proud of that. But people want the same service they can get in Portland or wherever they're coming from. So we are filling that gap also. You have to be many things. It's just like a business. If you don't change your business and don't have what people want, you're going to die. And libraries are the same way. So you have to keep up with the times.
Well, how do you find out what people want?
Well, our strategic plan, we spent 2 years and did a whole different way of strategic planning. We had a Library Futures Council. We had public meetings, and we said, what do you think we should do? Because some people said, don't need a library anymore. We have Google. Everyone's heard that. But then people were saying, yeah, but I go to the library for this. I go for that. And then we knew people wanted more programs, but people wanted more programs. So as we put things down, we thought, okay, this fits in, but we need to do a lot more programs. We hope to start a new literacy, adult literacy, next year for people that cannot read and people needing their citizenship. That's our next goal for next year. So, and this all came out of our study, and we looked hard at our population and just asked a lot of questions.
Because I've always thought of libraries, at least when I was growing up, a library was a kind of a, well, an almost passive experience.
Not anymore.
Yeah, you go.
It's rowdy now.
You go in. If there was a card catalog, there was back then, you used it. you might have to ask somebody for some help, and you might have to look for something, and you had to know something about the Dewey Decimal System, I suppose. But after that, you know, you're sort of on your own wandering around.
Well, you were allowed this one. Yeah. We had people ask us about, will we consider doing a family-friendly New Year's Eve party? And libraries are doing that now. And we thought about it. We asked the library board, and we said, why not? So we had music, and we had games, and it was interesting. We had 165 people here for New Year's Eve. People brought their little children. They brought their teenagers. We had a lot of older people here. And people came together and enjoy. We did a 6 to 9. We did an early one. Family friendly, of course, no alcohol. People played games. They had music. People danced. We got thank you notes from that. People called and said, thank you so much. I couldn't afford to go out, but I could come out and be with friends. The older people said, we didn't want to stay home by ourselves. It was really a community event. And that's what libraries are now. We are a community center. And people have already asked, are we doing it next year? And that would be a library board decision. But when you have 165 people show up at a program, that's not bad.
Well, we're in a political climate now that forces me to ask this question. At least I'd love to hear your answer. Why is this the function of the public sector? Why do we need to spend our tax dollars on this when those seem to be functions that could be supplied? Let's just privatize the whole thing.
Yeah.
That might be the argument.
Well, libraries are open to everyone. We serve everyone. It's always been that way, and we can blame Benjamin Franklin for that one. Libraries have changed over the past few decades. The first library I worked in, we had librarians that, unless you were white and Presbyterian, she would not wait on you. That's not the way it is anymore. And many younger people coming in the field. We serve everyone, and we're having so many different services. Our libraries now have become community centers because we're open to everyone. And some agencies are not open to everyone because they have a specific clientele they need to work with. And libraries are totally different. And I would say it's like a party in a library all the time because people come in and meet people. They make a new friend. They come to a program. They grab a book. And it's really interesting. In fact, in the mornings now, we see a lot more retired gentlemen using the computers. I did have one lady ask me a speech a couple months ago. I was saying we had more men upstairs. She said, single?
That part, that's, no. That's a whole other service.
Yeah,
I
that's
guess.
A whole other service.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the women come in and the kids come in, teenagers come in, and it's just really different to see. It's like the sky changing during the day. We see different ages coming at different times during the day. But libraries have changed all over the world now. It's just been amazing to be part of that. It's kind of fun.
Let me circle back to the question I asked you and then interrupted so you never got around to the answer, and that was what's happening this spring and summer.
That's true. We did get carried away. You know, we're doing so many, many different programs, and we'll always have our children's program. We have a great teen program. They meet monthly either in Tillamook or in Pacific City, and we're getting ready for our summer reading coming up. That will start mid-June. Last year, we had about 500 kids, 1,000 adults, and about 50 teens in our different programs. And, of course, we have all kinds of programs for those. You name it, we have it. And the theme this year is to build a better community, which is nice to have a good theme because we can do a lot with that theme. And the adults are having all kinds of, like, crossword puzzles and things to play with. The teens will always have their, how many, you know, pages can you read a day? And a teen's especially hard because trying to keep a teen reading is kind of difficult. But we have, like, the night at the library. And after we close on Friday night, the teens can come. And they play games. And they, I was here last year chaperoning. It was wild. I thought they were going to knock over shelves upstairs. But it keeps teens involved in reading. And it's interesting to see a teen grow up over the summer when they're coming to programs. So many things have changed over the past probably 20 years when we've seen the biggest changes.
One of the things that's changed, or at least I think we're all becoming more aware of, more aware of these days, is the question of access to personal information, and especially as you are a public agency, is that an issue that you spend some time thinking about what your obligations are in terms of giving information about a patron to appropriate or inappropriate
librarians,
government agents?
Librarians are, best word is rabid. We protect, there's a state law. We cannot give out any information on patrons. If there's a name, phone number, email, address, it's not available to anyone. Someone has to come in with a warrant or to get something. And then we send over to the county council. But Oregon is such a great state in keeping information private. So no one can walk in and say, I want Sarah's address where she lives. Never will happen. And we also protect what people read. It's no one's business what you read. I wouldn't want anyone to know what I'm reading. You know. Now, in our library system, you can actually log in as a patron and set up your whole reading thing that if you read a book, it would keep track of it for you. But that's something you have to do because the staff, we don't want to know what you're reading. So we're very protective of privacy at all times. So,
Is that true with online searches and using your computers and that sort of thing? That information is all offhand?
The only thing we check on is someone tries to hack us, or they we can track you down by your MAC address and you get blocked. But we're not putting up any of that. So every once in a while, someone outside sitting on the out here, normally on Sunday nights, trying to hack in to do something. We are so well protected. We'll find out and we just block you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I can't argue with that. Okay. Well, the levy is coming up, so let's devote a few seconds at least to give us your best shot.
Well, the library's been on levy since 1983. The county went into a recession back then, and something had to go, and it was the library. So we've been on levy since 1983. We are on a 5-year levy, so every 5 years we have to come out and ask the people to renew our levy. 65 cents per thousand is third time We're staying on this rate. It's been a good rate for us. This keeps the library open. It pays for 95% of our budget, and it is our structure. If the levy doesn't pass, we would have to close June 30th because we would not have authority to spend money, and we would have no budget. And it's just the way we're set up. In a couple of years, we hope to go countywide district and set it in stone so we never have to do a levy again. So we're looking at that in the next few years. So that's coming. And last time we were thinking about doing it, the economy tanked in 2008, so we had to wait until the economy came back. But that's the way we were set up back in 83. And it was just because of a recession that happened and something had to go, and it was us.
Does 5 years give you enough time to plan accordingly?
It does. Years ago, we were on a two-year levy, and that was awful. All we did was pass it, get ready to run again, pass it, get ready to run. With a five-year levy, we can plan for the future, work with our patrons, and keep things going and be able to plan. So that's been a big boost for us to be on a five-year levy. And the levy maintains all of our services. Our branches are owned by either a Friends group, Bay City, or Garibaldi. They let us have room in their buildings. And then we come in with the computers, the staff, the books, everything else. So we are a county system, so this affects the whole county library system. So I cannot advocate for or against it. I can just give you the facts.
Fair enough. What about the communication, the cooperation you have with other libraries? Because I know when I've logged on and try to get something, I can, if you don't have it, you can get it.
Newport and Lincoln City. We're in a new network now called Ocean Books. We're hooked up with Newport Library and Lincoln City Library. And we have 185,000 items in our collection. And with those two, it gets up to about around 400,000. And we all have a little special collections. Like Newport has different kinds of movies than we do. And Lincoln City, they have their fictions a little different. So normally, between all three of us, you have a wonderful choice. And if you don't find what you like there, we have interlibrary loan. We loan books from all over the world. We have a lot of people doing research. A couple of years ago, we had a book come in from Australia. Somebody was doing research. We get books in from Canada and all over the country. So it's a wonderful. We interlibrary loan about 3,000 books a year now.
What's going on with the bookmobile? I see it parked here and there and look at it.
It's
and,
doing
how's
great.
It, doing?
It does about 120 stops a month. And we just had off the road, we had to buy a new generator. The poor generator died. The bookmobile is now 7 years old. So we hope to run this for about 3 or 4 more years and we'll have traded in. And we're looking at newer services too. We're looking at a van next time also, because we can put our carts on and roll the carts into daycares and nursing homes and have the books right there. So that's another type of service we're looking at, because they're giving people more options. If they're not able to get on the bookmobile, we'll just roll the carts into them.
So if I'm interested in a book and I reserve it online and then find it at the bookmobile at some convenient location, is that how can I best use the bookmobile?
You can stop at any of the locations we have. We do have them listed on our website. And if you like a stop, call us, because we do a lot of neighborhood stops. If you're handicapped, we'll stop at your house. And you can always, if you know the bookmobile is coming out down to Nesquin, you can always say, I want this book please sent to Nesquin, because we're down there every Friday. Or Wheeler's in our stop, we're there every week. And we have a lot of people that have been using that bookmobile for 40 and 50 years. And we'll go to farms and daycares and nursing homes and schools, neighborhood stops, about everywhere. But we do about 120 stops a month now.
Who's getting into library science these days? You must be seeing folks.
A lot of young people. Yeah. It's exciting. We were worried about 20 years ago, people weren't coming into the field. But it's such a vibrant field. If you love computers, if you love books, one or the other or both, it's a wonderful field to come into. Librarians now, we've gotten rid of the little blue suits and the bun. Well, I still have the bun, but that's a whole other story. They're coming in with tattoos and nose rings for the new librarians. It's a very exciting field to be in, because libraries will be here forever. If you love to help people, if you love to read, if you love to work on computers, if you love to help people, it's a wonderful field to get into, and it's the passion you have to have. It's just like nursing or doctors or even love of law. You have to have the passion. It's a wonderful field to be in, and libraries will be here forever.
And what's the course of study? If I want to get into that, I'm
you
at
have
that
to
age.
Have a master's degree. Yeah. You can have any type of college degree. Mine happens to be in music. I was a music major. But I knew I wanted to be a librarian. A lot of people, if you're going academic, you have to have a second master's in something. But for public, you have to have a master's of library science, And that's entry level. And they normally go on for a second master's or something like that. You can get a doctorate degree in library science, but that's mainly for teaching and graduate school. So most of us have masters. And then you work your way up the ladder like everybody else. But it's a wonderful field to go into. And you can specialize. Like I specialized in reference and then accidentally ended up in management and realized I was good at it. You specialize in children's, in reference, in technology, about anything. And it's just a very exciting field to go into. There's librarians now for the Indians reservations. They have museums there. You can go, all the Navy, Army, they all have librarians. That's a wonderful field to get into. You can work on base, and that's very exciting because you work with whole families of people there. And, of course, the colleges are a wonderful field, and it's very specialized because you have a specialty if you're going that route. But it's a great field, and it's still expanding, and it's nice to see the young people come in. It's fun to see someone come in with a tattoo, but that's the way it is.
Are there regional programs in Oregon and Washington that you would point people to who might be interested?
Yes, we do have a good school. It's an online school in Oregon. University of Washington has a wonderful school up there. You can do a lot of online school. I have a staff member now doing online with University of Alabama. And then had a couple go through the Oregon school. There's only, I think, 20, 25 accredited schools in this country. So you do have to be accredited because you can't get a job unless you are, just like many other degrees. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. But you can go. Most everything's online now, and you have to go on campus for a while. But I would say if anyone's looking for a wonderful career and you love books, computers, helping people, it's the way to go.
Are there internships, or how do you get some real-world experience?
You can be. They usually give you a time you have to intern. I interned in academic myself, and scariest thing you've ever done, they plop you on references, and they walk away, and you sink or swim. But we've done a few interns here, not very many because we're so far off the beaten path. But one thing that thrills me, I have two people that grew up using this library, went away to school, went and got their library science degree, and they're back here working for me now. That's really pretty cool.
That's got to feel really, really good.
It does, and it's a good feeling to see that full circle coming around.
Well, the Tillamook County Library, you continue to press onward doing really interesting and very progressive work. Immediately coming up, if people have interest in either summer or out of school program, how should they get in touch with you and maybe learn more about it?
They can feel free to call me, Sarah Charlton at the library, or they can check our website, tillabook.org. And we have a wonderful new website, and we list all the programs there. Also, we have a Facebook page, so you can also, if you're into Facebook, you can join our Facebook page, and we'll let you know when everything's coming up. And all kinds of things going on. But it's, I think you might like one program. If you're not a reader, you will like our program. And if you love computers, you'll find something interesting to do here. Or if you just want to come in and hang out, meet new friends, and or maybe a few old friends, place to be.
Get some real comfy buildings. That's one of the things I like, too.
Very wonderful building. Very comfortable.
Very comfy. Sarah Charlton is the director of the Tillamook County Library System. Thank you for joining us. Have a great summer. It's always fun to talk to you. It's always fun to come into the building.
We're getting ready for the parades.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's where I always see you is in the parades, too.
Right.
Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Peter Newman. Thanks for listening. Neocon View. See you next month.